Let's continue our study of 1 Kings 21 by reading verses 17 through 29. In this last half of the chapter, we have King Ahab confronted once again by the prophet Elijah, this time for his robbery and murder of Naboth. 1 Kings 21 and verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours.' Then Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay down in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days, but in the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." Once again, some background notes. It's been several years now since Ahab had seen Elijah. When Elijah ran away from Jezreel because of Jezebel's threat back in chapter 19, Ahab probably thought he'd never see Elijah again. At least that's what he was hoping. But guess what? Just when Ahab is about to enjoy the vineyard that he had robbed and murdered to obtain, who should show up but the prophet Elijah? God directed his recommissioned servant, the prophet Elijah, to confront King Ahab once again. Looks like maybe several years have gone by. And notice where he is to confront King Ahab. God says, confront him in Naboth's vineyard, there in verse 18. Notice, not Ahab's vineyard, Naboth's vineyard. As far as God is concerned, it's still Naboth's vineyard. Elijah was to tell Ahab, verse 19, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. That prophecy was fulfilled in the very next chapter. Furthermore, Ahab's dynasty would be brought to an end. Verse 22, I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. The house of Jeroboam and the house of Baasha were former dynasties that God brought down because of their sins. And in like manner, Ahab's dynasty will come to an end. And finally, there is the prophecy pronounced against Jezebel, there in verse 23. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. You can read about the fulfillment of that prophecy right down to the very details in 2 Kings chapter 9. What about doctrinal points? Doctrinal point number one, every person is responsible for his own sin. The Bible certainly teaches that, and it teaches it here for sure. Every person is responsible for his own sin. The word of the Lord to Ahab there in verse 19 was, "Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?" Notice Ahab can't say, "Well, wait a minute, I didn't do it. Jezebel did it. I did not personally do it. I didn't know Jezebel had arranged all this." God held Ahab responsible. God directs Elijah to say to Ahab, verse 19, "Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?" Even though verse 25 says at the end of the verse, "because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up," still we see that God held Ahab responsible for his actions, including the robbery and murder of Naboth. Every person is responsible for his own sins. You know, these days it's quite popular, isn't it, to try to blame everyone and everything for our wrongdoing, for whatever's wrong. "It's my background. It's my upbringing. I was an abused child. I came from a dysfunctional family. It's because of repressed memories. It's because of this syndrome or that syndrome." Now, there may be some truth to all of these factors, but still, what does God's word teach? Every person is responsible for his own sins. In Ezekiel chapter 18, we read that the Jews of Ezekiel's day were trying to blame their sins on their forefathers. The Lord said, "You can't do that. The soul that sins shall die." That is, every person is individually accountable. Every person is responsible for his own sin. I'm responsible for my own sin. I can't blame it on someone else or something else. You're responsible before God for your own sin. There may be all kinds of factors in your background, but you can't blame it on that. Every person is responsible before God for his own sin. Doctrinal point number two, it's never too late to repent. It's never too late to repent. After Elijah pronounced judgment on Ahab, we read in verse 27, "So it was when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay down in sackcloth and went about mourning." Think of it. The most wicked king in Israel up to this point repents. Now we know from the next chapter that this repentance was short-lived. But still, God honored that repentance. Look what we read in verse 28 and 29. "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. But in the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." All the prophecies of judgment mentioned in this chapter concerning Ahab's dynasty were definitely fulfilled. But they were delayed for about 12 years. God responded to Ahab's repentance. It's never too late to repent. Certainly that's a teaching that comes out of this portion of God's word. It's never too late, folks, for you to repent. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And you may think you're too far gone. You've committed too much sin. God would never listen to you. Let me ask you, do you think you're as wicked as Ahab? The Lord Jesus died for your sins. You can have salvation this morning. It's never too late to repent. You know, there will come a day when it will be too late. But right now, it's not too late. Why don't you take this opportunity, even this day, to confess your sins before God, repent, and accept Christ as your personal Savior? It's never too late to repent. Now, what about practical application? Practical application number one, you can regain your courage. You can regain your courage. Remember how bold Elijah was in the previous chapters when he confronted Ahab in chapter 17 and then confronted the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel, chapter 18? But then he ran for his life because Jezebel threatened him. Do you remember where he ran from? He ran from Jezreel, this very place. But here he is. He's back. Elijah is back. He's back in Jezreel. He's back where Jezebel is. He's not only been recommissioned by God, but he's regained his confidence and courage. You too can regain your courage. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you're afraid to witness for the Lord. You're scared. You're afraid. And you once were more courageous. When you first became a Christian, you told everyone. You told your neighbors, friends, people you worked with, people you sat next to on the bus, the train, the plane. You were very courageous. What happened? You've lost your courage. Maybe somebody made fun of you or threatened you in some way. Hey, here's the good news. You can regain your courage as Elijah did. You might say, well, wait a minute, Elijah, no, prophet of God, I can't measure up that way. You know what James 5:17 says about Elijah? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he was an ordinary person. Elijah did not have some advantage over us in that sense. He ran away scared because he took his eyes off the Lord and was not depending on the Lord. But then when God worked with Elijah, he brought him back. He restored him. He recommissioned him. And Elijah now is depending on the Lord. And his courage is back. We too can regain our courage. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now let's face it, we're not all as bold as others. But if we're fearful about sharing our faith with that neighbor of ours, with that fellow student of ours, with that person that we sit next to on the plane, if we're fearful about sharing our faith, we can be sure of one thing. We're not totally depending on the Lord, because that fear does not come from God. That comes from self. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. What's the answer then? Well, just like in Elijah's case, depend more on the Lord. And you, yes, you can regain your courage. Practical application number two. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. That's actually a verse of scripture. You know where it is? 1 John 3:13. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. Well, we see that truth brought out here in 1 Kings 21. Look there at verse 20. When Elijah confronts Ahab, Ahab says, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" You know, Elijah was actually trying to help Ahab all the way through his reign. He was seeking to help Ahab to return to the Lord. But Ahab called him back in chapter 17, a troubler. And now he refers to him as my enemy. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Sometimes we think that if we're nice as Christians and loving and trying to help people, somehow the world will respond and like us and think highly of us. Hey, listen, they may if we're only doing good deeds, but if we verbalize the gospel, share the truth of the word of God, you're going to experience the hate of the world. Just as Ahab hated Elijah, even though Elijah was seeking to help him, so the world will hate us, even though we're seeking to help them in every way. Don't be surprised if the world hates you.